We will welcome your questions and feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio during this November edition of Mondays with Mike. WPR's director Mike Crane joins us usually on the first Monday of each month to share news with you about WPR and to field your questions or concerns. What would you like to know? What would you like to hear? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
And welcome back from NPR. You were at NPR this weekend, and you're going back tomorrow. You got lots going on with the NPR board. You have a new title or a new job with the NPR board.
That's right. And actually, because of that new job, one of the experiences I had there this weekend turned out to be really helpful. So on the NPR board, of course, we serve on committees. And my newest committee assignment is to chair what they call the Resource Development Committee, what I'd think of as the fundraising committee, essentially. And that committee, which is part of the governing board, partners with a group of very generous people that are the trustees of the NPR Foundation. And so they're people who give very significant gifts to help NPR nationally. And so we'll be collaborating with them. And I got to meet a number of people, very lively group. The whole weekend was kind of like an NPR love fest, just people very proud of what NPR does for the country and helping to support it.
Yeah, and I'm kind of throwing you this curveball here, but you weren't prepared necessarily to talk about this. But as the resource development manager incoming for the NPR board, can you tell us about NPR's resources? Are they doing all right financially?
Yeah, it's funny. One of the things they reported to the board and to the people in attendance here is that for the second year in a row now, they've balanced the budget. NPR has an odd fiscal year. It's tied to the federal year. And so, like yesterday, it entered its new fiscal year. And they balanced the budget, which is terrific, and ended with a little bit of a surplus that can be poured back into NPR programs. But they have had to run a very tight ship. Some people may remember that it was in the news that NPR had to reduce its staff somewhat over the last couple of years. And the challenge that the Resource Development Committee and the Foundation Board will face is that there's a huge election set of coverage coming up that requires special coverage from NPR, and we want to make sure that NPR has the resources to cover that well. And stations are already doing their part. That's about 40% of NPR's budget, I think, are from stations, meaning the money that we raise here at WPR and elsewhere that help to build the finances of NPR. And they have the same sources of income as WPR, with one exception, which is that they don't do sort of traditional membership drives of their own. So when they talk about an individual giver, they're typically talking about someone who's given $10,000, $50,000, $1 million, something like that, which is typically, there are some exceptions, but it's typically different at public radio stations themselves.
We have another fundraiser coming up in December.
Our on-air pledge drive, that's right.
And we had a successful October drive, thanks in part to the Green Bay Packers, huh?
Yeah, it was, as we were heading toward the end of the pledge drive, it was a good drive. We were feeling pretty good about it, a lot of new members and that sort of thing. And then we had the opportunity to offer those Packers Skybox tickets, and it just turned into gangbusters time. And we signed up lots more new members and renewing members that maybe aren't sustainers yet or something like that, and went over our goal, which had been $750,000 for that pledge drive, and we're north of $776,000 by the time we were done.
Yeah, that was great. And poor Packers. They had their first loss last night.
They were dominated, and I was flipping back and forth because I grew up in New York and so have a lingering Mets fan part to me. But those Kansas City Royals deserve to win. They played so well. They were so aggressive and so opportunistic. But my Mets, it's wait till next year, like Cubs fans have been saying since the early 1900s. So I can't complain too much about having them in the World Series.
All right. So a good, successful fundraiser in October. The next end of the year fundraiser for Wisconsin Public Radio, at least end of the calendar year fundraiser, will be December 8th through the 12th, a Tuesday through Saturday. So that'll round off this 2015 year of 2015. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he stops by once a month to talk about public radio happenings and to welcome your questions and your feedback. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And we are hiring at Wisconsin Public Radio. We just had Sean Johnson on for our State Capitol Report, Mike, and I had a new title for him. He's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Yeah, we're really recognizing that just a tremendous amount of coverage of in any state house, but certainly our state house, is needed. And so Sean has been not entirely a one-man band, as you say, because we'll send other people up, but we'd like to have a pair of folks that are really deeply covering what happens in our Capitol, because in many places in the country, that's really where the legislative innovation is coming. That's where things that happen to affect more daily lives happen. And we're looking forward to Sean's leadership and to having an additional Capitol reporter that comes along soon.
And I am looking forward to talking to that new Capitol reporter from time to time as well. And we are also hiring an assistant news director. This is to take the place of Noah Oshimsky, who is now our news director.
That's right. You know, we do a mix of what they call internal hires. Noah happened to be one. And external hires. We hire people from elsewhere. And so in this particular case, Noah's move up, which is really great, and he's doing a great job, creates an opportunity for someone else to apply for the assistant job.
Yeah.
And the assistant news director, among the things that they do is sometimes they'll be reporting, just as Noah sometimes does, but mostly they're kind of a chief editor. They help to make sure that the story that makes it on air or on the web, which is something we increasingly are doing, they make sure that those are solid. They help the reporters to grow and change their capabilities. And in Noah's absence, they can also be in charge of the whole news effort.
And we are also hiring producers for the Joy Cardine Show, for the Larry Mueller Show, and for Central Time. Some of this is because of producers shifting around, but in the case of the Joy Cardine Show, it's because our producer, Kayla Blado, had another opportunity in Washington, D.C., and she moved, and so we are hiring lots of producers, too.
Yeah, and Kayla was great. We miss her, and Galen Druk finished up his time on our staff. He's actually going to help us remotely from Brooklyn for a little while. Mm-hmm. He's headed to a freelance career that he felt very confident in entering after working with us for a couple of years and helping to create and then sustain Central Time. These things, they happen. And
Judith Sears-Poisson, who was Larry Mueller's producer, is now the executive director of Central Time, or executive producer of Central Time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so you'll still occasionally hear Judith on the air. She was on last week as a sub, but mainly is going to shepherd that show along.
And Chris Molina, who was a producer once for the Joy Cardine Show, who moved to Central Time as a producer, is now the fill-in producer who will be kind of filling in all over the place. So that opens up another opening on Central Time.
Well, and one of the key things there is that as things change, people move on or we have vacations or sick time. It's great to have someone who kind of swing between the different shows and connect the shows, too, because you know, just naturally, because we're all busy, we can get into little silos with ourselves. And so we try to have ways of making sure that we cross between shows and departments and so on to create the best radio shows possible.
Yeah. Well, so you can check it out on WPR.org. I'm sure there is position descriptions for all of these. And if you know of anybody who might be a good, you know, state capitol reporter or assistant news director or or a talk show producer, you can pass that along.
Yeah, you'll find the all of the job openings that we have are under the About WPR section, and you'll see career opportunities.
Yeah. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and this is Mondays with Mike, the November 2015 edition. Mike usually joins us on the first Monday of each month to talk with you about all things related to Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, there was a staff meeting here at Wisconsin Public Radio last week, Mike, and Mike Arnold, our program director or our associate director, was talking about the next big thing for weekend shows on Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are looking into the possibility of developing new shows for listeners here at Wisconsin Public Radio to play on the weekends. What about this?
That's right. We're calling it WPR Next, and we're getting started without necessarily securing all the funds yet, so it's mainly in the idea and try it phase. The issue that we know we're facing is that a number of the shows that have truly drawn more people into public radio, Prairie Home Companion, we know, is Garrison's retiring, and Car Talk hasn't actually had a fresh production, a new show made in a number of years, so we're doing the best of Car Talk. And these shows had tremendous power to draw people into our audience, and we think, because we have experience creating great shows, that we might be able to create the next big thing. Don't know, but that's what we want to try. We have tremendously creative people here, and they know lots of creative people. Maybe there's a vehicle for someone that we don't even know yet that someone will come up with and help us to develop the next hit.
Well, we have a number of callers who want to suggest things for weekend programming, and we will take other suggestions for other programming as well. We'll also welcome your questions or any feedback you have about Wisconsin Public Radio. For Mike Crane, the director of WPR, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is the November edition of Mondays with Mike. What questions do you have about WPR programming or operations? What kinds of shows would you like to hear more of on WPR, especially on the weekends? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Kathleen in Delavan is with us. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, good morning. My caffeine hasn't kicked in yet, so I don't really have an original idea. But I did want to just mention that, you know, Click and Clack just is really so outdated. And when people are calling in, you know, about their 89 Hondas, it just seems, you know, it's just kind of jarring. But then I will say that on Central Time, I think a lot of people were kind of skeptical. But I have to say, I love it.
Now, why do you love
it? I learn a lot. Well, it's brief things, but they really get to the heart of it, and so even though it's brief, you have time to absorb and learn a little bit more of the finer points than, you know, the brief things you get on the regular news.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Kathleen. You know, I know the Central Time folks will be thrilled to have heard you say that, because essential to the design of Central Time is that there were a lot of topics that weren't making it on the Ideas Network because we pretty much have to try to do a half hour or usually an hour about that one topic. And not every topic, even when you go in depth, necessarily needs all of that time. And so a typical hour of Joy's show, you might hear one or two topics, and Central Time, it might be five or six. And you're right, a lot of people were skeptical, but we just received the latest monthly ratings that we get from the Nielsen folks about Milwaukee, and Central Time has really been one of the stars of the station. And I think so it's building steam, and it's great to hear that Kathleen has noticed. And on the Click and Clack, the car guys, yeah, you know, it is outdated, and Here's the challenge. It's still, even now, although it's not as powerful a show as it once was, it still draws a tremendous audience into public radio. It's kind of like a gateway for people into it. And so I think we all sense that will change and that there is a need for something to really replace it that's hopefully equally fun and accessible to lots of people who might otherwise not even try out public radio, but if they hear the buzz, oh, you've got to try this, that maybe they'll then find out about the Joy Cardine Show and all the other things that they can find.
I have to laugh a little bit. Kathleen thinks it's outdated because they're talking about a 1989 Honda, but you know what?
You
a lot of public
one?
Radio listeners have 1989 Hondas.
Yeah.
But yeah, that being said, it is. And we had another caller who dropped off who also was going to say that she's sad when she hears Car Talk now because she knows Tom Magliazzi has passed.
Yeah,
and
that's
that makes
right.
her sad.
And, you know, it's funny. Among our most popular programs are the late evening program on the weekend, old-time radio drama. And most of the people on that have passed away, and the shows are very old.
Yeah.
And yet, people enjoy listening to them. So for the moment, we take heart that that's the case for Car Talk, is people still just love to hear the boys.
Let's go next to Kevin in Deerfield. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, I'd just like to put in a vote for possibly some more eclectic music programming, particularly on the weekends and maybe on the weekend days and maybe Sundays, particularly Sunday afternoon. There seems to be a dearth of interesting things on the radio. In my opinion, in my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But I get around other parts of the state, and, of course, I listen in the Madison area, WHA, WHAD, and get other, particularly up north, they have some really good blues programming on weekend evenings. We have a good blues program here on WRT on Saturday evenings, and you know, we have WART, we have WSUM, but I think we could use a little bit more radio programming in blues, Americana. Used to have Afropop Worldwide, which I thought was a great show. Of course, you do have Jonathan Overby.
Yep.
But, I don't know, a little more eclectic folk contemporary international music, I think, would be pretty cool.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks. You know, part of what Kevin is talking about is that the WPR network was put together years ago from a collection of stations. Some of them were licensed, for instance, separately than the core WPR stations of that time. And there are some shows on different WPR stations that not everybody around the state gets to hear. A couple of stations have a lot of jazz programming, for instance. And we've kind of held on to that because, there are a lot of great shows, but they serve a particular local audience. And part of what Kevin mentioned is true, that in Madison we happen to have a lot more choices on the radio than in some places, including, he didn't mention, but I would add what they call Triple M here in town that plays all kinds of things you won't hear on other radio stations. And so figuring out how to put together the network but also have interesting things locally is an ongoing challenge. And so I thank Kevin for giving us some different ideas he'd like to hear.
Thank you, Kevin. Let's go next to Bob in Edgerton. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. You have some ideas for us.
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, Mike, I was thinking in order to promote Wisconsin, a couple of ideas that I had is, number one, theater groups. If they could put on, like, radio plays or whatever the case may be, that would be one idea.
Mm-hmm.
The other one would be to promote Wisconsin regarding outdoors, hunting, fishing. And I talked to Joy a few weeks ago regarding scuba diving.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, ideas like that to, you know, get the outdoor guys and theater people together and enjoy programs Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. In fact, one of my favorite commentaries in the Wisconsin Life series was from a woman who turned out to be an award-winning angler, and we've been running a little clip of that to remind people about Wisconsin Life. And, you know, the outdoors life is a very big part of Wisconsin. Scuba divers amaze me. You know, I know a couple of scuba divers here in Madison, and they swim in the often very cold Lake Mendota and parts of the year incredibly murky, but they're out there doing it. There's other things like that, too, that I know we enjoy having guests. For instance, there are people who do surfing on Lake Michigan.
That's right.
And so I think there's probably lots of great ideas out of that.
And in fact, I'll just share this, too, is that we do run the Wisconsin Life Radio essay series on the Joy Cardine Show on Fridays, every Friday at 6:55, you'll hear one of the Wisconsin Life Radio essays, and they're heard on Central Time and on Morning Edition and other places on Wisconsin Public Radio. But during that Friday 6 to 7 hour, we do focus on Wisconsin life. We talk about Wisconsin culture and Wisconsin recreation and
Joy where to go.
Tell
right?
Joy where to go. It's also let's share fun things going on all over the state of Wisconsin and things that are special about Wisconsin. I could see that there could be a weekend show that would that would be the Wisconsin the Wisconsin life, and maybe not just outdoors, but here's Wisconsin arts and here's some outdoors and here's some things that are that make Wisconsin special as a weekend show.
Yeah. So, well, and interestingly about Wisconsin life, and I'll just brainstorm right here on the radio. It started as pretty basically just sort of essays and grew very quickly into feature pieces, that sort of thing. We established a website that's beautiful at wisconsinlife.org, and it became a TV show as well.
Right.
And so maybe it could become a weekend call-in show.
That's what I'm saying.
That's really interesting. Who knows? But we'll put that into the WPR Next hopper.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he is usually with us the first Monday of each month to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio issues and ideas. We're talking about programming and operations. We'll talk about special events. We'll talk about policies and practices. We're welcoming your questions and your feedback, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And we will take more of your calls in just a moment and more of your ideas for possible weekend offerings on Wisconsin Public Radio. But let's talk about some special programming that is on the books for November, including... We have one coming up tonight, an immigration special, Immigration Uncovered.
Yeah, it's Untold Stories of Moving North. And I remember back a couple of years ago, we had a series we did working with the Center for Investigative Journalism that was called Dairyland Diversity.
Oh, yeah.
And it was about how the people that work on our farms are very different groups of people, meaning coming from far different backgrounds. It's no longer just the Norwegian gentleman farmer, you know. And so this is about people crossing borders and encountering new cultures and making new lives in their new land. And so that's 6 p.m. tonight on the Ideas Network.
And it is the month when we give thanks, and we have lots of Thanksgiving specials coming up.
A couple of the most fun ones here on the Ideas Network. We have the Splendid Table special to help with the challenges of the kitchen on Thanksgiving, and also America's Test Kitchen, which is just a wonderful show that is on Saturday or Sundays at 10. We'll have a special. And we also have a tradition of airing the Third Coast Audio Festival's Best of the Best. It'll feature some of the best radio documentaries of the last year.
1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Back to the phones, and let's go to Deborah in Madison. Hi, Deborah.
Hello, Joy. And Mike, when I first started contributing to public radio about 40 years ago, I sent individual checks, and I always thought of that as a vote. I sent them in during the show that I really wanted to encourage and back and show my enjoyment and appreciation for. Since becoming a sustainer a couple of decades ago, as we also flipped over our TV, our WPT backing over to sustainer status a couple of decades ago, what we've noticed is we still get a questionnaire from Wisconsin Public Television every year asking us what we're watching, what we enjoy, what we'd like to see. But public radio never seems to care once we turn into sustainers. This show that Joey has once a month is the only time I am asked to say what I would like to see for my money. So that's it. I'd like you to talk to the guys over at Public Television and find out how they send their questionnaires out annually to their sustainers.
Oh, this is great information, Deborah, because we're definitely, especially sustainers who, you're right, don't get necessarily as much contact as if we were asking you to renew and send a check. We know we need to get better at that. I am curious, though, because I know we do regular member surveys. Perhaps we're, in order to keep the cost down, we're not sending to everybody, and somehow randomly you haven't been selected. But I definitely will mention that to our team. I'm sorry it seems like this is the only time that you're asked. One of the things that we get a ton of input on, and I certainly encourage you to do this, because people here in the station avidly read the transcripts or the notes, really, from our listener services line. People give us, you know, every month it's just pages and pages of an Excel spreadsheet telling us what is on people's minds. And so I encourage you and everybody to use the audience services route. We definitely want to hear from you, and I'm glad you're telling me about this.
Yeah, so you're saying that audience services route means you can call audience services at 1-800-747-7444. That's one of the toll-frees that I have memorized.
Yep.
Or on WPR.org.
And the contact us part,
there's a contact us, and we get all sorts of, like this guest, I didn't like that guest. I wish you would have a program like this rather than that. And so you can always share information that way. But Deborah, you're saying you would like to get a survey via email is what you would like to see.
Yeah.
Snail mail.
Or snail mail. Okay.
Just like they do for the television folks. You might discover that some of us old sustainers, when we start feeling like we're part of the process again, might send more money every year. Might up our monthly ante.
We will do our best, Deborah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Our membership director, Sarah Jacobs, received an email from a listener who said WPR treats personal checks like they're second class. This listener said WPR never mentions anything on air during pledge drives about sending a check, and that it is difficult to find information about that option on WPR's website. He said he doesn't appreciate being asked to send more money immediately after writing out a check to WPR. He said WPR is pushing the limits of tact and graciousness. So why do we do what we do, Mike?
Well, I want to thank a dear friend Bill who writes to us a lot and picks out some very interesting things. And I learned something from this exchange that Bill had with Sarah. So let's pick it apart. There are a couple of different things. One is, while it's true that we occasionally mention sending a check during a pledge drive, and we do have on our donation page a link that says, use a check or PayPal or something like that to make your donation. During the pledge drive, it's a campaign. We're really focused on getting people to make a contribution right now. And so when they get on the phone and talk to one of the operators, they certainly will be asked, would you like to pay with your credit card right now? And the offer of a check is certainly a possibility, because we can send a reminder to people. But increasingly, people have wanted to use their credit card, and so I don't know the statistics. I do know that we receive fewer and fewer checks, and just Bill's right. We haven't emphasized that, and it's something that we talk about. We have become much more of a electronic transactional world. The other part that was really interesting, and I've noticed this with every nonprofit that I contribute to myself and never really thought through, and that was, when you get the thank you letter, it seems like you also get a request for an additional gift. Here's why, and I had no idea. Sarah shared this with Bill and with me. In order to get the discounted postal rate that we get for sending mail, we have to have some kind of what we'd call it an ask. And we try to have it be fairly soft, but that helps us to get the discounted postal rate. Otherwise, we would be sending those first class. And over the very large number of mailings that we would do, that would really add up to our fundraising costs. Something I just didn't know.
I didn't know that either. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. All right. Well, thank you to Bill for that email. Let's go next to Mike in Wausau. Hello, Mike.
Good morning.
Morning.
What I would love to see here on the radio is a program dealing with exclusively classic cars, talking to their owners and places that repair exclusively classic cars. And we need more of those, I think.
So Mike, do you own a classic car?
Yes. It is hard to find those places that repair just classic cars. And the second idea would be more old-time radio. I love old-time radio. And if that could be extended to another hour on Sunday, I would sure love it.
Yeah, it is. It's funny, you know, not as many people are actually using the radio on a Sunday night as do right now. There are a lot more people tuned into radio. But of those people listening to the radio on Sunday night, a very large percentage have found old-time radio drama. And so it's one of our, on a percentage basis, one of our most popular shows.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. He is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he is responding to your program ideas, and he will answer any questions you have about WPR practices and policies and programming. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is Mondays with Mike on the Ideas Network. What questions do you have about WPR programming or operations? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with Mike Crane today. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he joins us once a month, usually the first Monday of each month, to talk with you about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. And our next caller is Joe in Marinette. Hi, Joe.
Hi, hi, Joy. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
The name that you have for your supporters, Sustainers, I think is absolutely perfect because what I would like to see on the radio, just my humble opinion, is more about solar and wind. My family lives off the grid. We've been off the grid for about 3 years. I think there's a huge misconception of people that live off the grid. I mean, whether it's a Little Caesars pizza commercial with the guy with the long beard or whatever, but you know, we live a normal life and computers and iPads and you know, we're all over Facebook and whatnot. And there's been so much activity on my Facebook page about people curious about that. I'm just one guy. Boy, you have a platform that I think a lot of people would really enjoy, that, like solar and wind and just self-sustainability in general.
Well, you know what, Joe? I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to get your contact information, and maybe we can do a show on you living off the grid. How's that?
Well, I'd be flattered. You know, we're one of your biggest listeners here, that's for sure.
But what about, you want to have a regular shows about sustainability and that sort of thing?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, I'm just judging from my own experience here. So many people are asking me questions, and how do you do this, how do you do that? And, you know, and then there's some people out there that say, you know, how do you live without electricity? Well, I mean, we have too much electricity. We actually have to burn it off as heat. A lot of people don't understand that when you're off the grid, it doesn't mean that you don't have, It's not like you're sleeping with pajamas with a flap in the back. I mean, you are absolutely living a life that is absolutely normal.
You know? Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I got two previously tween girls here, and they live on their pads and their phones and that kind of stuff, playing video games, and people are just absolutely shocked when they walk into our house and see so many devices.
Interesting, yeah. that you have that all going on at the same time. But I'll put you on hold, but maybe we could have a show on the weekends off the grid, Mike.
Oh, that's really interesting. You know, I'm glad Joe has a sense of humor about it, because Obviously, it's an important part of your life, Joe, and that's awesome. And this strikes me also as another possibility, too. We have a new project that has been doing some piloting work and will really get going in earnest starting with the new year, and it's called WisContext. And the idea of this is that there are all kinds of things that aren't really news, but they're important information that might be shared more effectively. And sustainability, solar and wind, and other ways to live well off the land and so on would certainly be a great topic for that group.
Yeah. We had a question that was presented to Audience Services and put in our listener log for the past month. And the question was, how do you choose the books you read for chapter a day?
Jim is the holder of the mystery, Jim Fleming, in terms of the exact choices. But among the factors that I know Jim uses is we try to get some books that we think will be popular, you know, for whatever reason, that can be coming from appears on various bestseller lists, that sort of thing. But there are some limiting factors, too. For instance, Jim has shared that some publishers simply will not grant audio rights because they've already sold them for books on tape, that sort of thing. One thing I've been really glad about is every so often we seem to find a book that is sort of part of the conversation of the culture or the community right at this time. And so the book Just Mercy that we've been having on Chapter Day right now is so timely with the news about all of the challenges between law enforcement and especially black Americans. And there was an appearance of the author, Brian Stevenson, at the UW Go Big Read that drew at least 1,500 people. And we've been reading it with Cynthia Woodland on Chapter a Day. And so that is also a factor. And we do try to have a fair number of books over time that somehow connect with Wisconsin. I'm blanking on the name of the book that was about the baseball player at the fictional little college.
I'm blanking on that too. Yeah.
I can mm-hmm. picture the book cover, but mm-hmm. that was another example. And we've had things about the tragedies or murders or whatever you would call them at Taliesin and all kinds of different things like that. And we try to have a really good mix.
And Cynthia Woodland will continue to read from Just Mercy, A Story of Justice and Redemption by Brian Stevenson at 12:30 today on Chapter a Day. It will be chapter 11 of 15 today. So a listener did talk with Audience Services as well to say she has trouble listening to Chapter a Day. Apparently it doesn't come in very well on her radio. Are there other ways to listen to Chapter a Day?
Yeah, and I'm going to just sort of make a guess as to why it doesn't come in well on the radio when other shows might. Probably they're trying to listen to WHA or WLBL at night. Those are our two AM stations, mm-hmm. and they're required, just because of the physics of radio, to go to very low power at night. So one way would be tune in during the day if you're able to, because it's on adjacent to the Larry Mueller Show. But the other way is that while the book is being read, almost always we have the right to temporarily put up an audio archive for maybe a week or so after it's broadcast. And I know I've used that method to catch up on a book if I was really into it. And it's at the Chapter a Day webpage on our website. And the way to find that is to go to WPR.org and look at the programs link in the menu, and under there you'll find Chapter a Day.
I'm Joy Cardine with WPR Director Mike Crane. This is the November edition of Mondays with Mike. If you have a question for Mike or some feedback for him or a suggestion for a possible new weekend show, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. And we have Thorsten in Chippewa Falls with us now. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm with the earlier caller who asked for more jazz and blues. And on the weekends, when Simply Focus on, I go, oh no, not again, and on both stations. So I would suggest that we have Simply Folk on one station here in Chippewa Falls, and during the same time, more blues and jazz for people with some different music tastes.
So have all separate shows instead of a simulcast of Simply Folk.
Yeah, there because not all of our signals are equal in a community, that's been a hard choice for us to figure out. And so I know, for instance, that if we let's pose an idea, let's say we took Simply Folk off the Ideas Network and left it on the News and Classical Network, that would mean Simply Folk doesn't air in Milwaukee.
Right.
And we actually do, because of that, with Higher Ground, we carry Higher Ground on the Ideas Network in Milwaukee just to make sure that that community has access to that program. What a puzzle. You know, I tease Jack Mitchell, who really helped to build a lot of what is the current Wisconsin Public Radio. I said it's the Frankenstein monster that Jack built. he used the available parts. And so if you take a look, for instance, at the coverage maps that we have on our website, you can see that there are big circles and little circles, and even those circles don't always represent an exact reality as to where you can receive the stations. And it's really been kind of the Manhattan Project for us to try to figure out, if we reconfigured this, how would we do it? So I appreciate Thorsten's suggestion, and it is on our minds to consider when we're simulcasting something, is there an opportunity to do something new?
Let's go to Tim in Hancock next. Hello, Tim.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just had an idea for some potential programming. And I'd like to propose that Wisconsin Public Radio develop programming, Wisconsin-oriented, that takes a concept from somewhere in Wisconsin's history, whether or not it is immigrant musical traditions or exploring the great naturalist from Wisconsin, historically, Elder Leopold, John Muir, and presenting information on the thought process that individuals or groups like that brought into the state, and then bringing it in and gradually using that as a segue to bringing it into contemporary applications of thought and industry in the state.
Mm-hmm. Wisconsin then and now. How's that for a name, Mike?
Might be really good, yeah. And it's funny because coming up for names for shows can really be one of the most challenging things. You know, do you get it right? Mm-hmm. And you could really mess it up if you aren't doing the right thing on that. Yeah, you know what strikes me, too, is that there is one show we have that does things like that, sometimes with Wisconsin topics or other, I think of them as maybe intellectual in terms of that idea of looking forward and back, and that is the University of the Air, which is on the weekends on the Ideas Network. But I could understand how there might be an appetite for more.
Yeah, and this is not exactly what Tim was suggesting, but it just reminded me of it. We will be talking about one of the things that we still eat today in Wisconsin, in the upper Midwest, some of us eat anyway, based on immigrants to this part of the world, lutefisk. We're doing a show on lutefisk on Friday from 6 until 7. And I'm going to decide if I'm going to try lutefisk. Have you ever tried it, Mike?
I haven't. You know, as a child, I thought pickled herring was just a terrible idea.
And now you like it.
And now I like it. I tried it at a party that was being held by one of the Northern European radio networks at a conference many years ago. I was like, oh, this is why people like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll.
So I encourage you to try it. You know,
I think I'm going to try it. Just to even if some people say it tastes like Jell-O fish, I'm going to try it.
That's like head cheese, right? That's something people like, but I don't know.
Irene in Madison is with us. Hi, Irene.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Yes, following up on the earlier call about classic cars, I would like a show about cars, an informational show about cars, news about what's going on, what's on the horizon, in addition to maybe calls about car issues. There used to be a show with Matt Joseph that was like that, and I still miss it. Click and Clack was great as a more of an entertainment type show, but I'm kind of facing buying a new car, and I'd like to know more about what's going on out there with cars.
All right, Irene, yeah. So maybe a locally produced car show.
Yeah, and Irene is right. There is a lot going on with cars. I remember reading a year or so ago in Consumer Reports that it used to be their advice was make the car run for as long as it can. From a sort of a green perspective, that's probably still incredibly good advice. But they said that the improvements in terms of safety and so on in cars just in the last few years have been so significant that they've encouraged their readers to consider buying a new car just for safety alone. So that there's a lot of good conversation that could come out of that. Thanks, Irene.
Yes, thanks for the call. John in Ithaca, Wisconsin. Hi,
yes.
John.
Good morning. I'll talk as fast as I can. I think and wish that you could very much consider extending shows when they're really good and hot. Joy, you did a show not too long ago of some guy trying to sell a book about conspiracy theories, and there was no time for any of us to refute or give an opposing opinion, and it was such a it was a dynamic subject that I know you have pre-programming and all of that, but I'm thinking about years ago, there were times where, you know, we're going to keep this going type of thing. The wonderful thing about radio is that it's a live thing, and it's exciting when, you know, something spreads. About 20 years ago, there was an end-of-the-year show called What's the Biggest Story of the Year, and I was driving back from Chicago. I was riveted. Someone called in and said, well, I think the biggest story is the lie. Well, what do you mean the lie, the host said. Well, just the government, this and that, and it just spread. And everyone started calling in, and they extended the show. And by the end of the show, they said, well, I guess, folks, we have to say that the biggest story of the year is the lie. I used it as a premise for a screenplay of mine. I just think that because radio is so special and different, sometimes, and in this conspiracy example, Joy, it should have been extended.
Well,
yeah, you know, I do understand what you're getting at, John, and you're right. One of the principles of what we do, though, is that it's often better to leave you wanting more. And it can be very, very hard in the midst of all the things that are going on in a show to take care of all the things that might allow us to extend something. There might be people waiting to do their show. You know, there's a guest that's expecting to be on next, and other logistical things can be maybe we only have a certain amount of time booked at a studio, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, maybe that guest was not going to be willing to extend the show.
Yeah, and it can be so hard in the midst of everything going on in the studio to try to answer those sort of questions. And the other thing is we have tried sometimes, and I'd say with pretty uneven effect, because I think it's because it's crossing mediums, to continue the conversation on Facebook or things like that. And maybe we should think it's a different time now because we haven't done that in quite a while. But that might be an opportunity in an occasional case. And what you want to do from a production standpoint is to try to know before the show that that might happen.
Yeah, and I'm all for flexibility and extending when possible and shortening if needed.
Yeah.
But
that's the really hard one.
Yeah.
Look, we're
yeah.
done with this topic, but it's 8:43. I don't know.
Right. Well, thank you very much, yeah. John, for that suggestion. Boy, we're running short on time. Let's. Becky on Facebook writes, "I missed the moth on Saturday afternoon."
Yeah, it's on Friday evenings on the Ideas Network now. So I think we had it as just a special on Saturday afternoon sometimes, and maybe we can do that again sometime.
Yeah. Well, in our final minute, Mike. Any other news from Wisconsin Public Radio that you want to share with our listeners?
Well, we talked about the Thanksgiving shows on the Ideas Network. I'll just mention there's some really great ones on the News and Classical Network as well. A really lovely show called Giving Thanks, a celebration of fall, food, and gratitude. Listen for that. And Thanksgiving with Cantus, which is one of the premier vocal ensembles of the country. Just really worth listening to, ethereal sounding. I've seen them in person and just loved it. And those are on the News and Classical Network, so you can look for and listen for those as well.
Good. Thank you very much, Mike. We'll talk to you again in December.
Great.
Mike Crane, Wisconsin Public Radio's director. And you can continue providing feedback to Wisconsin Public Radio. You can contact us at WPR.org or call 1-800-747-7444. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.